This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, and others for the 2023 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
I define wokeism, it's really quite simple. It means progressivism taken to extremes, imposed with coercion, even if it hurts the institution.
A lot of people, their worldview has been so narrowed, in large part by poor education, that the only out that they can see is a political solution rather than a cultural or rather than an individual solution that would come with having a really excellent education.
Jesus as the Good Shepherd is one of the earliest and most frequent images we see in church art, even back into the early centuries, and continuing through kind of all genres and all times.
Christ brings mankind to perfection. He is order where we are disordered. And so he brings it to its telos, to its completion. Christ himself is the truth.
Kindergarten teachers from Baltimore love listening to Issues, etc.
President Biden claims to be a devout Catholic. He certainly is a mask-going Catholic. Now, he breaks with his church on issues like protection of the unborn. Why, as a devout religious man, does President Biden seem hostile to religious liberty? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of May. Wesley Smith joins us to talk about the Biden administration on religious liberty. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Then in hour two, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy will walk us through the coming Sunday morning. Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council and author of a column for National Review Online titled "A Biden Second Term Threatens Freedom of Religion." Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Good to talk with you again.
Last week, the president announced that he's going to run for a second term, promising more freedom. What does he mean by freedom?
That's a good one. I'm not quite sure because he is certainly, to me, at least when it comes to freedom of religion, the candidate of less freedom because he has done his best as president through rulemaking and even advocacy to denigrate the idea of the free exercise of religion.
So there are several places already where he has a track record. And then there's also places where he has an agenda that he would like to accomplish. How does he do on medical conscience? What is that and what's his track record like?
Yeah, medical conscience says that a doctor who has a religious or moral objection to a particular intervention, for example, let's say abortion, or let's say a gender transition surgery on a child, has the right to say that is against my conscience, that is against my religion, that is against, as far as I'm concerned, the Hippocratic Oath, and I won't do it. The Biden administration wants to try to force doctors to do these things, both in its regulations that it has tried to promulgate and in supporting things like the Equality Act, which would destroy medical conscience, particularly by destroying the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It would gut the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So not only is President Biden opposed to medical conscience, but he supports a bill that would destroy the one remaining vestige of protection of free exercise of religion right now, because right now the First Amendment, as interpreted by the Supreme Court, does not do that, and that's why the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed.
He's also endorsed regulatory policies that would, if put in place, force Catholic hospitals to perform abortions. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to create an absolute civil right to what's called reproductive health care, which includes abortion. And it isn't just the Biden administration that's doing this. It's lawsuits, and it's a lot of very progressive states are trying to, I think, put Catholic healthcare out of business, basically telling Catholic hospitals you're going to either have to follow the secular idea of woke medicine, or you're going to have to close your doors, or you're going to have to cease being Catholic. That's very difficult. Biden has also gone after religious adoption agencies, saying that if they get any kind of federal funding, they cannot, for example, Christian agencies that might have an objection to placing a child with a same-sex couple, that then they will lose their funding. So the whole focus of the Biden administration is to put pressure on religious traditionalists primarily to go along with modern sensibilities, even though it violates their freedom of religion. And remember, freedom of religion has two aspects. It's a freedom of thought, and it's a freedom of action or inaction. The latter part is what is under attack by the Biden administration specifically, and by progressive politics generally.
In that vein, Wesley, how should we respond when either we hear free exercise essentially said, well, you can worship however you want. Freedom of worship was the term of art coined during the Obama administration. How should we respond to that?
If freedom of worship is a very reduced, almost eviscerated concept of freedom of religion, all freedom of worship says is that if the Catholic Church wants to believe that the Eucharist is literally the body and blood of Christ, and we'll say the Lutheran Church doesn't go along with that, but says, well, it's the real presence, or let's say an evangelical church says, well, it's really symbolic, or a synagogue says, well, Jesus wasn't the Messiah, you can do that. Well, that doesn't do much for anybody, because it, by doing away with the free exercise aspect, you cannot take your faith out of the walls of the synagogue, mosque, church, or home and live your life in the public square that way when it conflicts with modern, I would say, woke sensibilities. And therefore, you've seen the constant attack on the Colorado cake designer because he refuses to bake and design and bake cakes for certain functions that he disagrees with regard to the function. And the idea here is to force people when they're in business, when they're in the public square, if they're practicing medicine, if they're practicing nursing and so forth, to put their religious beliefs in a box and only bring it out when they're in church, or bring it out when they're in their own home, let's say, saying grace over a meal.
Some will say, if we were consistent, this kind of maximal view of the freedom of religion, then we should also allow Aztecs to practice human sacrifice.
Right. You hear that all the time. And the point is that there is no such thing as a right that is absolute. The state has the right, if it has a compelling state interest, to prevent that kind of thing. So using child sacrifice as an example, of course the state has the right to prevent that, even if one has a sincere religious belief that child sacrifice will prevent an earthquake, right? But that's not the case when you're talking about these other kinds of issues. I don't see the compelling state interest in forcing a doctor to take a human life in abortion, or to, let's say, perform a mastectomy on a 14-year-old girl. There's no compelling state interest in that. All that is an attempt to push religion into a box so that people cannot actually live it as they go about their lives. And I can give you an example. A child of a Jehovah's Witness, if a child needs a blood transfusion to survive, even if the parents say no because that's against Jehovah's Witness dogma, the state can and has forced these children to receive life-saving care because of the compelling state interest aspect. But on other occasions in our history, take a look at World War II. That was an existential war for the survival of the United States, and yet even then, we allowed people who were sincere, conscientious objectors based on religious pacifism not to go to war. So there is a way in a free country to balance these issues out, to allow religious conscience to dictate how people live their lives and not force them, absent compelling reasons, to violate their own religious beliefs.
Someone might ask, Biden is a professed religious believer himself. Why the apparent hostility, animosity
toward religious freedom and free exercise?
That question. You know, it's really remarkable. He, from all indications, he is a devout Catholic. He goes to Mass once a week, every week. You know, you see his the ashes of Ash Wednesday on his forehead and so forth. And yet, when it comes to other people being able to live out their religious beliefs by refusing abortion or by the medical conscience issue, he has an implacable hostility. He seems to have, and you know, I'm not a psychiatrist and I certainly haven't examined him, but he seems to have compartmentalized his own personal beliefs, and I'm never going to say they're not sincere, who am I to say that, from what public policy should be. But public policy has always been in this country to find that balance, to allow people to live out their lives, because freedom of religion is the first freedom. And free exercise is specifically guaranteed in the Constitution. And what happened, Todd, just so your listeners know, there was a decision in back in the 90s called Unemployment Division versus Smith, I believe. And this involved Native Americans who took peyote during a Native American religious experience. And then when they were seeking unemployment benefits, they tested positive for drugs and were denied the benefits. So they brought a lawsuit and said, wait a second, by denying us benefits, you're interfering with our free exercise of religion. Justice Scalia, and I think it's the worst decision he ever wrote, I think seemed to think that that was a drug case and not a freedom of religion case. So a new approach was brought forth in the Smith case that said, if a law is of general applicability or a regulation is of general applicability and it violates somebody's free exercise of religion, that's too bad because you're not targeting that particular faith since it's a law of general applicability. Well, the consequence of that, it was pretty predictable. You started seeing regulations, for example, in the state of Washington trying to force Catholic pharmacies to dispense contraception and things of that sort. And because that case was deemed so radical, there was an almost unanimous passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act by Democrats and Republicans, supported by liberals and conservatives, and signed by President Clinton. That is why the Hobby Lobby case, as an example, the Hobby Lobby company was not forced to cover certain contraceptives in its health insurance because of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Well, that's under now complete assault by the Biden administration. They want to gut it, and the Democrat legislation wants to gut it. That has passed, for example, in the last Congress, passed the House, did not pass the Senate. And the issue that got in the way of the accord that the left and the right had on religious free exercise was the LGBT issue. So that the left began to believe that free exercise protections enabled discrimination. And the conservatives, I'm speaking generally, obviously, continued to believe that free exercise is really important. It should be protected in the First Amendment and is protected in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that's the implacable conflict we have right now, primarily around very controversial and relatively new public policies and social changes and social views in the country. It's too bad because the accord supporting freedom of religion protects minority religions and it protects majority religions. It protects people who have majoritarian belief systems and it protects minorities, for example, Muslims and so forth. So it's a very unfortunate thing that that particular issue seems to have pierced the belief across our political landscape in freedom of religion.
Finally, you did it as well just a moment ago, but when we refer to freedom of religion as the first freedom, what does that mean?
Well, it's in the First Amendment. That's part of it. It's also one of the first freedoms in the United Nations Declarations on Human Rights. And traditionally in the West, since we overcame the religious wars that once tore us apart, we understood that allowing religious liberty was crucial not only to freedom, but to accord in a society and comity in a society. And that's why it's often called the first freedom.
Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Duhar Medicine, and he's author of a column for National Review Online titled "A Biden Second Term Threatens Freedom of Religion." You'll find a link to this column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Wesley, thanks.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on the other side of the break. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Speaking the truth to power, the Lutheran option, cancel culture, media bias, a dying man's consolation. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in River Forest, Illinois.
Making Disciples for Life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring, Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.